Before last week, we were in the Sermon on the Mount for a couple of weeks. And we heard Jesus begin the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. One is particularly relevant for us as we begin Lent. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. It's an evocative image, where Jesus promises fulfillment for those who long for justice and righteousness in an unjust and crooked world. The righteousness Jesus talks about is God's righteousness, the shalom, where broken relationships between God and humanity, humanity and the creation, and among human beings themselves are put right. That is the essence of what it means to be righteous, to be in right relationship with God, creation, and each other. But the way we often practice righteousness conflicts with God's plan for shalom. That's why I appreciate the updated translation we have in today's gospel. It's not beware of practicing your piety before others anymore, but beware of practicing your righteousness before others. It's the same Greek word as in the Beatitude. By translating it that way, we get a good contrast between two different kinds of righteousness. Performative righteousness, done for reward or reputation or the satisfaction of being right, and real righteousness, based on the love, grace, and mercy of God our Father through Jesus Christ, sent by their Spirit. We know the dark side of human righteousness all too well. We know about self-righteousness, the smug certainty that one is totally right. We see it all the time, from public discourse to our relationships. There is something in us that just can't stand being wrong, that just has to correct the record and give our side of the story. Case in point, during the Cold War, Russian spies would exploit this burning desire to correct the record by liquoring up American sailors on shore leave and then saying something like, "I heard that the German subs go about 35 knots per hour, but your subs only go about 27. And then the sailors, with that burning desire to correct the record, would share classified information. But we don't just have a need to correct the record. We also seem to have a need to justify ourselves and our actions, even if it means making excuses for our own bad decisions. By the way, isn't it odd that you only hear the word justify or justified outside of a Christian context when something has gone horribly wrong, as in justifiable homicide or other things like that? We have a need to be right. To be right about our beliefs and right about our actions. But there is such a thing as being right and yet being totally wrong. The policeman, Javert from Les Miserables, is the quintessential example of a man who's right, who has the law on his side, and yet is totally wrong. He's dogged in his pursuit of the convict Valjean, but shatters completely when he finds he cannot act lawfully in arresting him without acting immorally, and vice versa. The religious leaders in Jesus' day were another example, so right in following the law, and yet so wrong in honoring God's intention for the law. The Apostle Paul falls into this camp too. This is just a common pitfall among us human beings. We can find ourselves to be right and yet so wrong at the same time. And that's why Ash Wednesday and these words from Jesus today are such a gift. Today, Jesus is inviting us to consider why we do what we do. Do our actions, especially those that are religiously motivated, cultivate the love, mercy, and grace of Jesus Christ in our lives? Do they give life to others? Do they reflect God's shalom? If they don't, which is inevitable because we're fallen creatures, Jesus invites us to receive his righteousness and his grace that washes away all of our sins. Jesus invites us today to remember our baptism, when the mark of the cross was placed on our heads forever. That mark, unlike the ashen mark we receive today, can never be washed away. It is there for good. Through receiving Jesus' righteousness, we are freed from doing anything for appearances anymore. We don't have to be right in ourselves because we know Jesus has made us right by God's grace. Jesus has made us right with God. That grace is for everyone, whoever you are or wherever you come from. It doesn't matter what sins you've committed before. It doesn't matter what kind of family you grew up in. It doesn't matter how smart you are or how much money you make. And it doesn't matter how religious you are. Jesus' call to be part of God's shalom is for everyone. And that means freedom from self, particularly from self-righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, Paul writes, we have been reconciled to God. So we're gifted these disciplines of Lent, prayer, giving, and fasting, to be practiced in whatever way cultivates God's love, grace, and mercy within ourselves, in our relationships, and in our wider communities. In particular, here's a way to consider fasting and giving this Lent. Rather than giving up alcohol or chocolate, or in addition to those things, what would it look like to fast from our grudges and our grievances? What would it be like to put those aside for a while? What would it look like to fast from contempt and hatred? What would it look like to fast from the need to be right? What would it look like to give gentleness in exchange for harshness, to give love in exchange for hate, to give mercy in exchange for hard-heartedness? Giving that way will require fasting from our need to be right, our need to justify ourselves. But by God's grace, such fasting may lead us to feast on God's love more than we can imagine. God's blessing be on all of us this Lent. And God in Christ, help us to grow in faith, hope, and love always through the power of their Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.